Big shout out to our amazing sponsors, Outlaw Distillery. Looking for exceptional spirits to elevate your taste buds? Well, look no further than Outlaw Distillery. With their extraordinary spice rum and honey bourbon gracing the shelves of liquor stores, your drinking experience is about to reach new heights. And here's the best part. Outlaw Distillery is opening its doors to all you adventurous souls. Join the tour and step inside the lair where the magic happens. From the art of distillation to the secrets behind their mouth-watering recipes, this is a chance to witness craftsmanship at its finest. Here's a little something extra for our family. Outlaw Distillery is offering an incredible 40% discount on all tours. Just use the code FAMILY when booking your visit to the Spirited Haven. It's an experience you will not want to miss. Not only does Outlaw Distillery excel in crafting top-notch spirits, but they also believe in giving back to their community. So, if you're ready to taste the adventure and embrace the allure of finely crafted spirits, head to your nearest liquor store and grab a bottle of Outlaw Distillery. And remember, the best is yet to come when you step inside Outlaw Distillery with the exclusive Framily discount. Cheers to thrilling libations and unforgettable memories. See you at Outlaw. Shout out to our sponsors, King's Peak Coffee Roasters. At King's Peak, they take coffee seriously. Their beans are sourced with utmost care from sustainable farms worldwide, ensuring that each sip is a celebration of exquisite flavors. From captivating blends to captivating single origin roasts, their coffee selection promises to tantalize your taste buds and elevate your coffee game to new heights. King's Peak staff embodies the spirit of hospitality and passion for coffee. With smiles that brighten your day, they're always ready to guide you on an unforgettable coffee journey. From bean selection to brewing techniques, their knowledgeable baristas will happily share their expertise to help you find your perfect cup. King's Peak is committed to making a positive impact on the entire coffee supply chain. With every purchase, you're supporting farmers and artisans, enabling sustainable practices and empowering communities around the globe. Together, we're nurturing a brighter, more inclusive future for everyone involved. Whether you're a coffee aficionado or a curious newcomer, King's Peak is your welcoming sanctuary. Explore their wide array of coffees, accessories, and gifts, and let King's Peak help you find the perfect fit for your unique taste. They're not just a coffee shop, but a community that embraces the joy of coffee and human connection. Join us at King's Peak Coffee Roasters, where coffee dreams come true. You're listening to The Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. All right, family, we are here in a secret location that will probably be revealed once we take a picture, obviously.
Probably.
And I'm here with one of my dear friends who I've been watching in the industry come up from, I feel like you were just a janitor, just doing hobnobbing shit, driving beer around, and now look at you, man, making your own beer. Anyway, Brian Best, ladies and gentlemen. Brian, welcome to the show, homie.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, man, I've been looking forward to this one, especially when I thought about it, and I wanted to tell you when I saw you the day, I think it was like the day after my birthday or something.
Yeah, when you stopped in.
Yeah, and I think I wanted to ask you, but then I was so excited to like do the things I was doing.
Right.
Anyway, sorry, selfish. But
oh, yeah, on your birthday, how dare you?
It was very selfish, and but you showed me a beer, which is amazing. You probably brought today. No, you didn't bring today.
We got all new things today.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Anyway, so, Brian, welcome, man.
Thank you.
And I want to ask you a question off the bat.
Okay.
When was the first time you and I met?
Do you know the answer? Are you testing me right now?
Yeah, I am testing you right now.
Oh, God.
But I want to see if you know.
I would say it had to have been either one of the times at Hopkins, but I feel like we didn't really connect until one of the Policy Kings Beer Fests.
The connection, yes.
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 I feel like the initial introduction would have been during my time working at Hopkins, though.
When was your time during working at Hopkins?
Through first year and second year. So I was with them from like 20... 19, maybe even earlier. Yeah. So I'm, yeah, I mean, I was there for the 1 year party and the 2 year party.
Yes.
For sure.
Boom. So 2 year party.
2 year party?
2 year
party
is when we first met.
On New Year's?
On New Year's. So we met there.
Okay.
I don't remember Amanda being there.
She was not.
Okay.
Because the party was late at night. Because it was, it's the New Year's party.
Yeah. So she probably, was she, is she over 30? So yes. Bedtime's at 9?
Yeah.
So
we know how it goes.
Because the first time I met Amanda, I remember that vividly, and that was in Cedar City.
Yes.
Okay, and I loved the hell out of her. She was the most adorable, is the most adorable person ever. So anyway, so the one time we connected, though, was at Policy Kings, and at the time, if I recall this, correct me if I'm wrong, you were also working for Policy Kings in a way where you're traveling beers, and you're kind of being like their...
Yeah.
I don't want to say guinea pig, but like their traveling goat?
Yeah, I mean, I...
How would you...
Yeah, they were... they were thinking about expanding into the Salt Lake area. Mm-hmm. So they were trying to get some of their beers in the market up here. Mm-hmm. And so I was basically running sales and orders for them. So I was
sales. That's what it was.
I was trying to build accounts for them. I got their beer in a couple of different places, and then, you know, they're down in Cedar. So I'd drive down to Fillmore, meet them halfway, pick up a handful of cases of beer, and then get them to like Slackwater, was carrying that. I think they might, Slackwater might still have some of their beers.
Salt Lake, I believe, still does.
Yeah. And Craft by Proper picked up their IPA for a while.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. So I was kind of sales and distribution for a little bit.
So walk me through. Let's start over. So where the hell are you from?
I'm from Southern California.
So Southern California.
Yes.
And then what brought you to Utah?
College. So my dad was originally from here. He lived out here till he was about 7.
We're in like Salt Lake?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So when I was getting ready to look at schools, my dad told me to look at the U. And it was a great fit. I had no idea what I wanted to study. They have a bunch of programs. They're all really good programs. Back then the U was still part of the Mountain West, so it was a good fit athletically for me.
It's been a minute, dude.
Yeah. Dating myself for a second.
Now they're part of the Pac. Ooh.
Ooh, no, not anymore.
Sorry.
No, Pac-12's dead in the dirt. Yeah, so it seemed like a really good fit. I came out here in the middle of January. I'd never really seen snow before, so that was a shock.
I bet it was.
Oh my God.
So you were in California your whole life until that point.
Yeah, born and raised in the desert, like out by where Coachella is.
Wow.
But please don't hold that against me.
I'm not judging you. Anyway. So then January you showed up and there was snow on the ground.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Tell me about that, dude. Your first impression of snow.
Walking in like Southern California kid. I'm walking around in the thickest sweatshirt I have, which amounts to nothing out here. So I'm freezing. I'm in skater shoes. You know, I take one step on ice, eat shit. My mom's throwing snowballs at me as we're walking around campus. I had an absolute blast.
Really?
Oh
you
yeah.
You had a blast.
Oh man.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
It was so great.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. The student that was showing us around campus was really nice, and it was just us on the tour. So any questions, anything I wanted to learn about it, it was basically a private tour of the U.
That's so cool,
yeah,
man.
It was rad. So
and then you were sold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In a heartbeat.
Where's your mother from?
She's also from Southern California.
Gotcha.
Yeah. My mom grew up in the Newport area, and then my dad lived here till he was about 7, and then his family moved out to La Habra.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And then what did you go to school for, if you don't mind me asking?
Political science, sociology, criminology, international relations, and foreign studies.
Dear Lord, did you happen to graduate?
I did.
What did you graduate in? All of that?
All of that.
Holy cow, Brian, I had no idea.
1 degree, 2 minors, and 2 certificates.
That's super cool, man.
I'd never made up my mind. So it sounds like a lot, but like one class would count for 4 of those programs.
Sure, sure. But you're very well versed in that poli sci, you got to say enough. I think that's mainly like, there's a lot of chapters in that. Dude.
Yes. Nothing with like chemistry or like I avoided hard science like the plague. And now
math.
Yeah. And now I use it every day.
So then what was your first job here in Salt Lake?
My first job in Salt Lake would have been working for the U. Mm-hmm. I was a student academic advisor. So I was an undecided student basically until I got an email from the dean's office and they're like, you're a junior and a half. You need to declare something. You're like, you're getting ready to graduate. Let's pick it up, bud.
Wow.
So there's a university college at the U and it's just for undecided undergraduate students. Mm. And I was in that office like every other week for my first 2 years. So then they were hiring, and I was like, I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I'm going to talk to other kids that are going through the same thing that I went through.
Oh, interesting.
So I was undecided peer academic advisor for about a year. And then after that, the program that I was a part of lost its funding because they wanted to change the structure of it. And the U said, we like the structure. So then they're like, no funding for you. So then I moved to the admissions office and was a tour guide and admissions student ambassador until I graduated, and then was an admissions counselor, and then was like, beer's better.
Beer's better.
Beer's okay. Better. See you later.
So with that segue, what was your first beer you ever had? Can you remember that?
Red Hook's ESB.
What the hell is that?
So Red Hook is a brewery out of the Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
I think they started in Washington. I think they might have a spot down in Redding now, like the very top of California. I don't even know why we had, because my parents don't drink. But for some reason, we had some beers in the fridge.
How old were you?
Anecdotal reasons, 21.
Okay, sounds good.
Definitely not. But it was just sitting there, and I was like, let's see what happened. And just opened it, and I had a friend that came over, and we were just jamming out in the garage, and I was like, hey, let's have a beer. And he was older than I was. He was like, yeah, I don't care. And yeah, it was one of the first beers that I ever had was ESB's Red Hook. Red Hook's ESB.
Did you enjoy it?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah.
And so you were saying you were jamming out. What does that mean?
So I play the drums.
Gasp. For how long? And why the drums?
Because I hated playing the recorder in elementary school. Oh, God. Cross puns. Haunts me forever.
That makes me so. I wish I had a recorder right now. Yeah.
I took like drum core lessons in third grade. So like
in third grade?
Yeah. So just like little practice pad, like you're going to be in a drum line, just marching on a snare, real rudimentary stuff. I got my first full drum kit from one of the kids that was the same age as me. He lived down the street. His parents didn't want him to have it. And my parents said, if you make room in the garage, then you can have this drum kit, thinking that I would, cause there was some stuff to move. And I moved things. I cleaned out the garage. I rearranged it. And they're like, nuts. All right, fine. You can get the drum kit. So I got my first drum kit, I think, in fifth grade or sixth grade.
Holy cow. Yep. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So then you fell in love with the drums and you just stuck with the drums?
Yes.
Have you ever tried any other type of instruments?
Yes.
Can you play other instruments?
Not really. When we were younger, my parents had... So I have two older sisters. My folks had the three of us take piano lessons for a couple years.
Gotcha.
So for a while, I could kind of play the piano.
You play chopstick? Dun,
dun, dun, dun, oh, yeah. Dun, dun. I can go big.
I love that.
Yeah.
So then you're just drummer ever since then?
Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah. I mean, I remember being super little, and I had like a Sesame Street brand toy little snare drum.
That's so cool.
That had like Oscar and Elmo on the side.
Hell, yeah. Those are my players. Tell you what. So who's your drumming idol? Or do you have idols in the drumming world?
Oh, I have
world?
Idols. Yes,
tell me about
there's
it.
A handful. One, of course, is Phil Collins.
Never heard of her.
I mean, Tarzan was a pivotal movie in my childhood, 1999. We didn't deserve the soundtrack that he gave us, but...
I felt like I deserved it. No, you're right. This is after Genesis, though.
This is true.
So, I mean... Yes.
But, ain't nothing wrong with Genesis either.
No.
Yeah. Phil Collins is a huge inspiration... the late great Neil Peart from Rush, major inspiration. The current drum kit I have is actually based on one of his old kits.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then there is a Canadian punk rock band called Billy Talent.
Oh, yeah.
Their original primary drummer, his name is Aaron Solowunyik.
That's a cool last name.
Yes. Phenomenal drummer, and he is actually battling MS.
Damn.
And was still, for a long time, was still able to tour the world and put on these huge shows with MS.
No way.
And like has, at one point in time, had the number one nonprofit in Canada for raising funds and awareness to fighting MS.
Dude, that's fucking amazing.
So like the beats he puts together and just his whole story and everything.
And I'm sitting here bitching about traffic and, you know, fuck, dude, that's so cool, man.
Yeah, so those are three huge inspirations. The fourth one would be Nico McBrain, who is the drummer for Iron Maiden.
Oh, cool. I actually didn't know that.
Yes.
Anyway, my bad.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna be selfish and tell you my favorite drumming story. May I?
Yes, please hit me.
So I was watching a band called Cage the Elephant one time.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And they opened for one of my favorite bands of all times. Okay. So it was at the Maverick Center.
Yeah.
It was years and years ago.
Yeah.
They had lights on everyone in the band except for their drummer. Okay. And I didn't know why. It was weird. It was so weird. It was kind of like, did someone fuck up the lighting? Like, anyway, then we're rocking out. They play one of their hit songs that just came out of a game called Borderlands 2.
Ain't No Rest for the Wicked.
Mm-hmm. So that song, I think they ended that song. So they go, before we end the song, we want to thank our step-in drummer for the night.
No way.
You may have heard of him. So what happened was our drummer got sick. Yesterday morning, can't play. We were going to cancel today. We told the headliners we were going to cancel. The lead singer said, fuck that. Give me your CDs. He listened to all the CDs, and because he listened to them, he knew how to play them. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to Dave Grohl.
I remember that show.
And also the lights go on. Dave Grohl stands up with his gloves and his drumsticks, and I am sitting there. My jaw was on the ground. I'm just like, you don't see Dave Grohl drum
very often.
And I saw Dave Grohl drum.
Yes.
And so the whole time I was watching the band, but after that, that's why they kept the lights off. Because after that I was focusing nothing but on Dave Grohl.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And to watch him just like old school. His
chops are nuts.
Holy shit. And then Foo Fighters put a hell of a show.
Oh yeah.
And anyway, it was my favorite show. Probably my favorite show of all time.
Oh yeah. That would easily be a top five show for me.
Oh my God.
Hands down.
Anyway, sorry. I had to share that because you would respect that.
Yes. That's a great story.
He's my spirit animal for sure.
I mean, I've seen Cage the Elephant when they were first starting.
Oh yeah.
That was a rad show. And I've seen Foo Fighters. It was the last time they were in Salt Lake before we lost Taylor Hawkins.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was also there. Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful time.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That was Delta Center, right?
It was.
Yeah. Fuck me. I missed it. They were just here literally 2-3 days ago.
Yeah.
And I missed it.
Yep.
Just, you know, whatever, but
yeah,
I heard it was a good damn show.
Oh yeah.
Anyway,
I wouldn't doubt anything that
we're transitioning to this episode. We're bringing up music today because you are a drummer, and you and I, mostly you, had this weird idea, awesome idea. We're going to pair Brian's beers with songs.
Yes.
So I've never done this before, and you've probably never done this before on a podcast.
I guess.
So I'm curious because basically I'm going to sit back and you're going to take over the show and tell me what we're going to be drinking and with what song. And what we're going to try to do is play the songs a beginning of the songs to have you guys understand. And then, let's pair some beer and music, dude.
Let's do it.
So Brian, start us off, my man.
Okay. So normally, you know, when you're going through flights, you'd normally go like light to dark, or you leave the really potent beers like smokes or sours at the end.
Sure.
We're not doing that. We're throwing that out the window.
What?
Yes. We're just flying in the face of convention. Instead, what I wanted to do was we're going to go basically through my life through music.
I love this.
So the very first song is Me as a Little Kid.
Okay.
And it just so happens to pair with an ESB, one of the first styles of beers that I ever had.
This is so cool.
So a little bit of nepotism. I did bring some Bewilder beers.
Why did you bring Bewilder beers, and why are you saying nepotism?
I work for Bewilder. I am a brewer at Bewilder.
Congratulations, by the way. We never got to that. But yeah, you are. You brew at Bewilder.
I do brew at Bewilder. Yes. So I brought the Bewilder ESB, which is one of our flagship beers. ESB is one of my favorite styles of beer because, of course, it was one of the first things I ever had. So I brought our ESB, and the song that we are going to pair it with is the opening theme to The Great Mouse Detective.
Wow.
Which is my absolute favorite Disney movie.
Absolute favorite. So, let's see. Radigan.
Oh, yeah.
Man, Radigan scared the shit out of me.
It was one and two between Radigan's song and the theme for Great Mouse Detective.
Man, Radigan's song is OG,
so good.
Oh, my God.
It's so good.
It is so good. Like, the whole scene is good.
Oh, yeah.
The drunk mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually watch The Great Mouse Detective every year for my birthday.
I love this, dude.
Yeah.
Is that your, go-to movie, then?
I have way too many go-to movies.
Like, when you were sick, was that one of your comfort movies?
Yes, that was one of the ones where I wore out the VHS that we had.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
What's a VHS?
I know. I don't even know. What's a floppy disk?
What the hell are you saying?
Why do you roll down a window?
I forget these things.
It hurts so bad.
So let's pour, man. Let's go. I'm so pumped right now.
Yeah.
I wish, like I said, we're going to try to play the song right now.
Okay.
Hopefully it plays, and hopefully people know what it is.
Yeah.
And I love the nostalgia behind it. Congratulations. Yes,
thank you.
So it's the main title from The Great Mouse Detective.
Absolutely.
I love this. Oh, my God. I wish we were listening to it right now.
I know.
So, Brian, while you're pouring this beer, I want to ask, do you think ESB is a popular style?
I think it doesn't get the credit it deserves.
In the States, in Utah, in general?
I think in Utah a little bit. I didn't see it a lot when I moved out here, and definitely when I started learning about beer and building my knowledge. It kind of exists on the West Coast. I mean, Red Hook being Pacific Northwest, there's a couple of random ESBs out there, but I don't think it's super popular. I mean, I've traveled around a little bit through the States, and it's not an IPA. It's not a hazy. It's not a sour. It's not a stout. Nothing wrong with stouts.
Correct.
But like it's...
And nothing wrong with IPAs, I think.
Yeah. It's...
So why do you think it's a style that doesn't get the appreciation that we think it deserves?
I think because it's subtly complex.
Ooh, I like that.
I think when people look at it, I mean, I'm talking about looking at a beer in an audio medium right now. but when people look at it, I think people expect it to be maybe kind of like a weird red, and then it doesn't meet that expectation, or maybe some kind of amber, and it doesn't necessarily meet that profile either. So I feel like people don't really know what to think of an ESB when they get it.
Yeah, but also, yes, you're correct. And I think, what's an ESB stand for?
English Strong Bitter or Extra Special Bitter.
So the last word, bitter.
Yes.
It's like saying, hey, I have something that's got some spice in it. Would you like to try this? Oh, no, I don't do spice. But yeah. It's like, how do you...
But, yeah.
The variation of spice is so... And so like the bitterness in here, let's go. It's not like... Yeah. I mean, I can give you an IPA that will melt your butthole, and this one won't even touch it.
Yes.
Anyway, salud. Let's try this.
Sláinte.
See, I could smell this all day. Mm-hmm. I'm a malt boy, man. Malty all day.
Yeah. I mean, when people come in and they're asking about it, I like to say it's almost like a red, because you're still getting that really nice maltiness. But then I like to tell people, like, it's got a little bit of, like, sourdough tang to it at the end.
Interesting.
I'm all about the bread analogies.
I like that. So I tell people it's almost like an amber.
Yes.
With that biscuity tang.
Yes.
But biscuity tartness.
Mm-hmm.
But tart's a hard word. Tang's a hard word.
Yes.
But, man, this is so good.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of my favorite. So I know Bewilder, and this is in my perspective, this is David's perspective. I think Bewilder is known mostly for their Kolsch.
Yes.
I think Bewilder makes one of the best Kolsches around.
Yeah.
Like, hands down. Yeah. I don't know what the hell that was. But but the ESB is my go-to.
Yes.
It really is.
Oh, yeah.
There's one time when the Beast didn't have it for a while, and I'm like, what the fuck? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, you were not the only person that asked us that, me included.
I'm glad people understand that.
Yeah, I'm walking around like, why are we not making this right now?
I think ESBs and milds.
Yes.
Milds get a knack too.
Yeah.
I think Julia Schuler down in Springville, I know I talk about Julia all the time, but she makes a damn good mild, and people don't give a fuck about it.
Oh, that's rude.
So like her and I just drink it.
Oh,
but well, I can't drink 10, 15 barrels.
That's true.
It's just a lot of beer, man.
That is a lot of beer.
It's a lot of working out.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. This is beautiful. So let's go to your career in the brewing industry while we finish this one. So you left the U.
Yes.
Then what was your next job?
After the U, for maybe a month, I worked in the back of Target as like stock and inventory management.
Cool.
And just running around a million steps a day. And that was basically while I was just waiting to hear back from another job. So I worked for the Department of Workforce Services. I did data entry and data management for Department of Workforce Services for a couple of years while I was working part-time, still with Hopkins for a while.
Okay. What were you doing at Hopkins?
Bartending.
Okay.
Yeah. I was doing a lot of bartending. I worked with Maddie on a couple of different small batches.
Matt Yeager.
Mm-hmm. Worked with him on a couple of different small batches.
Is that your first time brewing?
Oh, no. No. One of my sisters gave me a homebrew kit for my 21st birthday,
Mr. Beer kit?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
A couple of friends actually gave me a homebrew kit for my 21st, and just trial and error, and had some real duds and got better at it and better at it. So I've been very casually kind of off and on homebrewing for over a decade at this point.
Wow. So what, you're 31, 32?
Yep.
Hell yeah. And so you've been dabbling in the beer world. Like, beer's been kind of a secret hobby passion. Right?
Yes.
Not a secret, but it's been there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So you worked at Hopkins?
Yes.
For a while. And then what happened after Hopkins? How'd you get the PK job, actually?
So Amanda, my wife, used to work with Sarah, who's one of the owners of...
Sarah Regal?
Yes. One of the owners of Policy Kings. Mm-hmm. Before they opened up the brewery, they lived up here and they worked together. And then we did some beer tasting at their house, got to know them really well. I got to know them really well. Amanda already knew them. So we've just been friends with them for a long time. So we have been to every single one of their beer festivals. Beverly has been to, our dog has been to every single one of their
beer festivals. Does she hate the beer festivals?
Yeah, she does. She doesn't like people.
I know, but she's adorable.
She's so cute. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's how I got in touch with them. And then when they were looking to expand, they're just like, hey, you know us, you know our beer, we know you, we know you know beer. We think you'd be a great fit.
I was like, and I love that they're trying to reach out to someone local, a friend, and be like, hey, we're in the community. Don't forget about us. Because I feel like PK gets forgotten just because they're far away. I mean, and the same vein, Zion.
Yeah, Silver Reef. Yeah.
And I think also Vernal.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And people forget Bonneville. Yeah. I've never once heard anyone talk about Bonneville.
Yeah.
But it's just stuck in the fucking the bowling alley.
Yeah.
But like, is anything happening with, I don't know. Yeah. Who's, I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Right? Because it doesn't, anyway. And I, you know, it's hard to be distanced from stuff. Because like Prodigy's up there in Logan.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Luckily, Ogden has a community of breweries there. But if there was only one brewery there.
That'd be real rough.
Yeah. But it's only like, what, 20 minutes from Salt Lake? 30 minutes maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
But yeah, I feel bad for Cedar or Policy Kings being where they are. But
especially with the beer that they make. It's so good.
I'm telling you what, that the milkshake, the Nesquik.
Oh, the
milkshake.
Nesquik, yeah. Oh, man,
I tell you what. So I had the strawberry. Well, one of my favorite memories there was the strawberry milkshake Nesquik beer and then put their stout in it. My man.
Oh.
I loved it. It's like doing chocolate and strawberry Nesquik.
Oh,
it was the best.
I feel so ashamed that I did not do that combo.
I just do it. Well, next time they have the Nesquik one.
Yeah,
do it.
Absolutely.
We'll make a road trip. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, brother, so we have that beer. So then moving into our life. So then next chapter we have another song.
Yes.
You kind of mentioned earlier.
Yes. So this is Phil Collins. This is some of his solo work. It is one of my absolute favorite songs of his. It's called Don't Lose My Number. But this is specifically the live version.
And why is the live version special to you?
Because the live version just slaps better.
I like this. And what beer did you pair with this song?
Your beer.
Oh my God. Let me talk about it real quick.
I mean, big so complex music and drums. So you're bringing a nice.
So I told you about the beer I was going to bring and what it was, and you paired it. Like that was your homework assignment, mm-hmm. right? Basically.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you what beer we made at Strap Tank.
Yes. Okay?
So we made a triple collab.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point in time, our current head brewer, Derek DeBoard,
mm-hmm.
was working at Uinta with then brewer Joe Mastroco.
Okay.
And then I think salesperson Jeremiah York. And now Jeremiah works for Proximity Mall.
Gotcha.
Is sales rep for Proximity. And Joe works for Roy Farms Hops.
That's how all those connections were made.
Exactly. So now Derek is brewing at Strap Tank.
Mm-hmm.
He had this concept. He brought in our favorite Joe, one of our favorite sales reps, our hop guy, basically, and then one of our favorite malt guys.
Yeah.
And we did, let's do a triple collab. So what we did is we made a smash beer, single malt and single hop.
Yeah.
We did a 100% Proximity Pilsner, which we think is probably one of their best malts they have.
Yeah.
And then we brought in nothing but Strata hops from Roy Farms. With Strata hop and Roy Farm, it like you said, it slaps different than most Strata hops I have.
Yes.
So typically, from my point of view, and you can correct me wrong or others can correct me, but Strata hops usually have like a berry note or a berry flavor.
Yeah.
This one, we did something different. So we use a thialized yeast strain because it's kind of like the hip thing to do right now.
Right.
And we want to figure it out because I think people are doing thialized yeast a certain way, and there's always kind of a off flavor I get from them, and I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah, a little bit of tire maybe.
Yeah, rubber tire.
Yeah.
So it's a component of sulfur, I believe.
Yeah.
So I didn't want that, and I think I know how to get that in a beer. Anyway, long story short, it might be in this beer. But we did this. We made it a hoppy lager, basically. We couldn't really call it a pilsner. It's not really that bitter.
Yeah.
But anyway, thialized yeast strain called the Lunar Crush.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the lager yeast, and it was fun to play with. It's fun to like have new ingredients and just play with them.
Yeah.
And so this was really cool because this is the last time I saw Derek and myself and Julia all excited about a beer together because we didn't know what was going to happen. Yeah. We've made the same flagship beers. We've made this, that, and the other. Like, we know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But this one was just like a little bit different.
Yeah.
It was like a little bit, you know, like, I don't know. It was just, it's exciting.
Yes.
And so it was nice to see the team be a team, bring in some friends, and then make a collaboration because I'm an advocate for collabs.
Yes.
And this is a triple way collab.
Yeah. That's rad.
So anyway, this is called Three on the Tree, which is,
if anyone remembers,
Three on the Tree is, because we're trying to stay with the motorcycle theme, kind of, because Trap Tank kind of has to do that sometimes. So Three on the Tree is when, instead of like the, on the steering column where you have the park neutral drive, it's the shifting was on the steering column.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was reversed, first gear, second gear, third gear. It wasn't down here where it usually is.
I remember that.
I think it's the most dangerous thing ever. But it was called Three on the Tree.
Okay.
So this, anyway, this is the collab. So salute.
Cheers, man.
To Phil Collins.
To Phil. Oh, man. That nose right there.
My favorite part of this beer is the nose, personally.
That's rad.
Yeah. And I remember, I think at one point, it was Joe, Jeremiah, Derek, Julie, and I. And every minute on the minute, we were throwing hops in. And it was just like so fun to just be up there on the deck, just kind of.
Were they fresh hops or just putting in some pellets?
Pellets. So nice. They were the freshest batch we can get.
Nice.
So we kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Luckily.
Yeah.
The freshest, I mean, we were lucky to get some of the freshest strata you can get.
Nice.
Without being a whole cold, right?
Right, yeah.
But
I'm picking up some, I want to say almost like tangerine or some kind of soft citrus out of it at the end there. Yeah.
Oh, on the end, on the taste.
Yeah.
Mm, you can see that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when the tangerine leaves your palate, like that?
Yeah.
Like residue of a tangerine?
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
So how would you, now chasing the beer.
Yes.
And the song, Don't Lose My Number.
Yes.
What do you think, man?
I still think it's a great fit. I mean, just the opening of the song is just, I think it's three or four solid roto tom hits, which are just, they're toms and you can twist them and it will actually adjust the pitch of them. So they're
so cool.
Very poppy, very snappy. And I just feel like, yeah, you have those first couple hits as you're taking a sip of this and it's, and then you're off to the races.
Man, I can't wait to do this. Like actually try it and listen to this. My God. Well, Brian, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
And we're going to turn the song on in private and I want to, let's taste it. Let's pair it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be right back. Shout out to our sponsor, Sugar House Distillery. Handcrafted from grain to glass, Sugar House has been grinding for years to bring us products that are quality over quantity. Just to name a few, their single malt whiskey, rye whiskey, which is our weekday jam, their Boilermaker series, which is a rotating collab within our family, and their canned cocktails, which are so damn good and great for any to-go adventures you have this year. Located in most liquor stores across Utah, or just head over to the distillery located on 2212 South West Temple, Monday through Friday. Tell them we sent you, and they'd love to give you a tour and possible tasting. When you think Sugar House Distillery, think local and made with love. Until the next spirit, my friends. Shout out to our sponsors, Clearwater Distilling. Utah County's only distillery is turning heads and quickly making a name for themselves. From whiskey to vodka, their unique innovation transforms the norm with incredible products like their Rene Armagnac, which is an aged French Armagnac with an American rye whiskey twist. Literally one of our favorite showcasers. Or their Scandalous, which is not like Fireball. It's an actual whiskey with quality cinnamon without any sugary taste. Also, Clearwater teams up to do a monthly cigar pairing where you come and get educated on how to properly smoke a cigar while pairing with Clearwater's lovely spirits. For more information, head to clearwaterdistilling.com, hit them up on all social media platforms, or just message us and we'll get you started on the right path. Open 7 days a week, even on holidays, Clearwater is a must. See you there. Until the next spirits, my friends. All right, family, we're back. Refreshed, right, Brian?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like you're going to pee yourself. I thought you were going to die.
It's a lot of bike riding. A lot of water in me right now.
You have band practice like almost is every week, right?
Every Saturday, yeah.
So you're in a band. Let's talk about this because we're in music heavy today.
Yes.
So what's your band called?
Hulking Boy Giant.
Hulking Boy Giant.
Yes.
And I've seen you guys perform.
Yes.
And here's my story, okay? So I remember you performing in PK Fest. It was 2 years ago, two fests ago.
Yeah.
So a year ago, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
You had to perform in the fucking sun.
Oh, my God.
And I have never seen a more wet human being in my entire life. Because, like, we were talking just fine. You and Amanda, we had a booth next to each other.
Yep.
I was hanging out with Amanda. And all of a sudden, you just disappeared.
Yep.
And I'm like, why?
What's going on?
But I remember you brought your you had drums in your car. I remember that. But I didn't put two and two together.
Yeah.
You may have told me multiple times you were playing, but I forgot. Anyway, all of a sudden, Amanda's like, I'm like, where'd Brian go? She points up to the stage, and I see you, and the band gets introduced.
Yeah.
And you were in the sun.
Oh, yeah.
Because you had to tune everything in. Like, I watched you tune it in. You were already soaking by that time.
Oh, yeah.
But then hit play, and you kept going. But you didn't stop, dude.
No.
You did not stop.
No.
And I literally thought you were going to die. Because when you came off that stage, you were more red than my ginger family.
Yeah.
Like you were beet red.
I was the same color as the shirt I was wearing.
Yes, 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 you were. And I thought, oh God, we have to take an IV. Like,
yeah.
It was pretty intense. It was gnarly.
Yeah. I just got some water and went and stood in the Policy Kings cold room for a while.
Oh, man, like, I bet. Oh.
Yeah.
I worried about you, man. But you killed it. You played well, by the way.
Thank you.
It was... Not just blow smoke up your ass, but I was my favorite band there. It was a great time.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. It was a really good time. Yeah. I wish that stage idea would have worked originally, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Policy Kings Fest is a fun time.
Yeah, it really is. It is a very good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we always like going.
Oh, hell yeah. I hope they keep it up, because this last year they had a bunch of... They had eight breweries, I
believe.
Yeah. I think it's the most they had. Yeah. And fuck yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Helper was there. Fisher was there. And the DeLorean.
Did you actually see the DeLorean?
Yeah.
Okay. I told Dre and Sarah to send me a picture, and I got zero pictures. Oh, so do you have one?
I don't. It all just lives in my mind.
No one has.
It pulled into the parking lot, and I shut down.
Wait, they drove it? They didn't, like, shuttle it in? They, like, drove it in?
It drove in on its own into the parking lot. And then they had a little tent set up, and it just went under the tent. It was all nice and pampered. Dude gets out and he opens the goal wing. Just
did smoke come out?
No, but shotgun. It's the fucking hoverboard.
What?
Yeah, shotgun was Marty McFly's. Well, I guess technically
Mattel's hoverboard.
Semantics. It's a scooter, and he breaks the handlebars off.
Still.
But oh my God!
Wow, he went all out.
Oh, it was so rad.
Did it have a flex capacitor?
It did.
Okay.
It was, oh man.
I'm texting them after this because I'm mad that I didn't get to see it. Because this is, I'll tell you why I wasn't there. But there's a reason why I wasn't there. It was on purpose. Not because I didn't like him, selfish reasons.
Yeah.
Anyway, so next song, Brian, take us down the path.
Yes. So the last song was Phil Collins, and that was Me as a Little Kid. One of the first cassette tapes I ever got was the Tarzan soundtrack.
Beautiful.
One of the first CDs I ever got was a collection of Phil Collins' greatest hits.
Wow. Is that with his face? On the front?
No. But that's what so Don't Lose My Number is off of that album.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes. So that was me as a little kid. That was me, like, really getting into music and figuring out drumming and stuff. So this next song is going to be me in high school.
Okay.
And the band is called Flatliners. They're a Canadian punk rock group. I like my Canadian music.
Yeah.
One of my best friends, he is from Canada. And so he actually introduced me to this band while we were in high school hanging out. And so that's where this band comes from. But then this song specifically is called Eulogy.
Interesting.
And we're going to get heavy for just a second here. But there were three of us, and we were really, really close. And a week ago today would have been his birthday.
Ah.
And so, like, his name was Tyler. I think about him randomly all the time, like... We were on the swim team together. We would always just hang out at either my house or Tyler's house or Philippa's house. Just like we were all just like basically three brothers, and we're just at someone's house. Everyone's making food for it. Like we're just hanging out all the time.
Yeah.
So I think about him all the time, and I was listening to this song. It just came on a playlist, and I was like, oh man, like I really miss Tyler. So I think about whenever I hear this song, I now think of him.
Beautiful.
And I was like, this is just a great song. I feel like it does a good job of encapsulating my high school music experience. So I felt like I'm going to share it with you. I'm going to share it with anybody listening to this.
Beautiful. And it's called Eulogy by the Flatliners.
By the Flatliners.
And And what beer do we bring to pair?
Oh, we went north of the border, man. We got some Labatt.
Tyler, this is for you, homie. This is for you. So on that note, while you open this and pour, I'm going to put this in this glass, my man. This bigger one. But while we talk about this, Ryan, I want you to do me a favor. So as many know, I celebrate Day of the Dead. Like, that's my favorite holiday. Next to my birthday. Pretty selfish. But Day of the Dead is a time where we celebrate our loved ones. And our family, you have to talk about them. The moment you stop talking about your family is the moment they cease to exist. And you need to talk about Tyler any moment you can.
Yeah.
Every moment you can.
Yeah.
And so in honor of him, this beer, salud, Tyler.
Sláinte, Tyler.
Can't go wrong, dude.
I was going to say, it's just classic, simple Canadian Pilsner.
Eh?
Eh? Oh, man. I was actually going to try and find some Kokanee.
I have not had that in probably since college.
And I found some after at the Brickyard Harmon's. So they had 1 6-pack left, and I was so stoked. So I grabbed it, and as I was going to the checkout, I saw just on the top in kind of small print, it said, "Proudly brewed in the U.S. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Yeah, this is supposed to be my Canadian
beer. That's ass backwards.
Oh, nah, it's a Minnesota beer, which is like Canada light.
It is. I love that.
So I was like, I mean, it's a great beer. Canada loves their Kokanee, but I was like, I need me some Canada beer. For some Canada punk rock.
Have you been to Canada?
I have. I've been to Victoria with my family on vacation one time. We've been to Quebec, and then I've been to Vancouver.
Beautiful.
I actually went to Vancouver one time for a hockey game. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
NHL game?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I mean, hockey is so fun to watch.
Hockey's a blast, man.
Wow. It's underrated for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Good for you, man.
Yeah.
Do you speak any other languages?
I took French all through middle school and about 3 years of high school, which, you know, makes perfect sense growing up in Southern California. Very strong French population.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Preaching out the ass.
Yeah, I should have just taken Spanish instead. No, I took French actually to spite my middle sister because they started teaching French. We all went to the same middle school. Mm-hmm. So they started teaching French a year after she got there, so she couldn't go into French 1.
Oh.
And she was so bummed about it. So I immediately was like, as soon as I enrolled, I was like, oh, I'm going to take French. And I took it for a long time, and I don't remember
most
of it.
You.
Yeah. It's like, oh, man, this is so dumb.
That makes me so happy, dude. Because I've done spiteful things with my siblings.
Oh,
that's
what
you do as siblings.
Yeah.
You have to. It's like a part of being, it's human code, I think. Yeah. I love this, dude. Great memory.
Yeah.
And do you still connect? What was the other friend's name again?
Philippa.
Yes. You still connect?
Yeah, Philippa. So when Amanda and I got married in 2019, we didn't have official like groomsmen and bridesmaids, but we just had like, it was basically just a big ass party in Vancouver, Washington, which is where her dad lives. So it was just a big ass party. It wasn't really formal or anything. So we just had a group of her friends like, hey, I'll wear this color. You're like unofficial bridesmaids. I had a group of my friends, hey, wear these colors. You're like unofficial groomsmen. And we did pictures and stuff like that. But yeah, Philippa was absolutely there. And like his birthday was last month. And so like I always text or call him on his birthday. And we'll randomly just text or call each other and just kind of catch up. So
we're
not like at each other's house every day like when we were little.
Does he live around here?
No, he lives in Seattle.
Gotcha.
So
he is from Vancouver area?
So he is from Kelowna, which is in British Columbia.
Okay.
That's where he grew up. He has cousins out there and everything.
Beautiful.
And then he was actually one of the guys that really helped me get into hockey because both of his parents are also Swedish and Canadian.
Oh God.
And so anytime I was over there, there's just always hockey
or football on.
Yeah. Just oh, all, wow. always. So it was a lot of fun. Just hanging out over there. Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
I love that story. And I love this pairing, man. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's an homage. And
it is.
And it's a beautiful homage.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow, well done, dude.
Thank you.
You're slaying it right now. I'll tell you that. Now we have to get to the next one.
Yes, we do.
Not to diss the next one, but now you have our fourth song. Talk to us about this one.
So this is "To Relu" by the Bollocks. This is basically a punk cover of a classic Irish drinking song.
Oh my God.
And my family is Irish. We're Irish American.
Mom and dad?
My dad is very Irish American. My mom is Irish American, German, and Swedish.
Okay.
So you can.
So you're very white.
Yes. Yes. I have two shades, pasty and sunburn.
I love it.
Yeah. So when I was in college, so we're kind of moving to the college section of my life now.
Okay.
When I was in college, I had an opportunity to get an international internship, and it was, you know, you could pick a couple of different places, and one of the options was Dublin.
Man.
And so I was like, ooh, guess where we're going? So, I mean, it worked with my financial aid, and it worked out with my poli-sci program. So I got an international internship and lived in Dublin for about 4 months.
What?
And this was before I was 21. So this was, I mean, I had like my ESB introduction.
Sure.
But like living over there, that was my real introduction to like a positive drinking culture. Not like Bill's Mafia jumping off and breaking tables at tailgates, but like, there's a neighborhood pub, you hang out, you drink, you eat.
It's a culture.
Yes.
It's a lifestyle. It really is.
Yeah. So.
Oh God. And you said you were 20?
Yeah, I was 20. I came back in August, and my birthday's in November, so I still had to wait a couple of months before I could drink again.
What's
when
the
I came
legal
back.
Age in 18. Ireland? 18. So you 18. Were ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I was there and drinking, and I mean, it was great because my boss, the guy that I was working for, I don't think his official title is Counselor Paul McAuliffe anymore because he has climbed the ladder quite a bit now. But when I was there and working for him, he was a political counselor for some of the neighborhoods in the Dublin area on the north side, which is actually where I was staying and living.
Okay.
So he would have been like my representative, like basically my councilman.
Gotcha.
So it was really neat where I'm hanging out and I'm talking to him and he's like, oh yeah, we're going to go do this meet and greet. Get in the car and we drive and we take a left instead of a right. I'm like, that's where I'm living. Where are we going? And so it was really neat to learn a lot more about the neighborhood and the community where I was living and staying. So just kind of bringing it full circle with my family and my heritage. I found the cathedral that my great, great, great grandfather was baptized in.
Shut the hell up.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have Freudenfreud for you. I have joy of you having joy. I'm almost envious, but I'm not. That's so cool, dude.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a really, really cool experience. I made some really good friends through the program. I still talk to Paul. He actually gave a toast via text message at my wedding.
Beautiful.
And I had no idea that he was going to do it.
Wow. That's amazing, man.
Yeah. So that's why I wanted to pick this song. It's a really fun drinking song. It's punk rock, so that always makes it better.
Yeah. Yeah, I know like a Derek listens to it every day.
And then, of course, I couldn't find any Smithwicks, which was a real bummer.
Okay. I never had, actually.
It's spelt Smithwicks, mm-hmm. but it's pronounced Smithwicks.
Never had it.
It's Guinness's Irish Red.
Oh.
It's phenomenal.
Wow. Even in the States?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So when I was hunting for some Kokanee or Labatt or even some Molson's, I was also trying to find me some Smithwicks for us. Couldn't find anything, but
You brought my favorite one.
I was going to say, it's not even a consolation prize. We have some traditional, some OG nice Guinness Extra Stout.
Tune to Raloo. This is, oh man, Brian, this adventure in your life, like I have never, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like this is so fucking cool. Like, you make me want to do a beer song version of my life.
It's a really fun way to go through music and beer and just kind of, at least when I was figuring it out, I was like, okay, what are some of the beats in my life that I really want to hit? And what are some of the ones that I could very easily pair with music?
Yeah.
And I mean, I was like, okay, but let's make it five. Let's make it a proper flight. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like I could keep going. Like,
sure, yeah,
there's,
yeah.
I mean, I could do like the song that Amanda and I danced to at our wedding, or I could do some Toto because that was at our wedding, or Amanda's big into karaoke. And I did not like singing when we first started dating, but I would always do karaoke with her for her birthday. And I would always sing Toto. Just because it's Toto and Toto slaps.
I love this song.
So like, I mean, I was debating between Phil and Toto, and there's just so many songs and so many life moments that I wanted to encapsulate, but I feel like I just picked some different ones.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
And then some of the ones I'm keeping to myself. It. Or a part Good. Two, if you want to have me
back. I would
back.
Love a part two. We can do, also do it with your band, you know, yes. Or we can do it with, I'd love to do a part two. We even bring Amanda on and do like a best show.
Yeah.
A best of show.
Yeah. I mean, we like to say that she's kind of like honorary event staff management for Bewilder because she's...
Oh my God, yes she is.
Just running events for us left and right.
With a smile on her face.
Oh yeah.
And I feel like in the community... It's hard to do all the events and be dragged to all the events and still have a smile on your face.
Yes.
Unless your one job is to just do events.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she actually got her sips and tips.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So she gives a fuck then.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I mean, she knows our beer. She likes beer. She knows what even when we first started dating, she had a really good baseline of like, I know what I like. I know what I don't like. I have some of the words to describe what I like. And then we started dating and I just vomited beer and comic book knowledge and just way more stuff than she probably ever wanted initially. But now, I mean, like, yeah, she's going to sips and she's got her sips and tips. She's pouring at events. And it's even like, I don't have to give her notes. It's just, oh, this is a new beer. You haven't had it. Pour some. She tries it. And then she immediately has her own opinion and own description. Like it's a lot of fun that she likes going to events and we get to do that together. Kind of like little mini vacations.
Sounds like you kind of like her.
Just a little bit.
Wow. Well
done. Yeah. Only by like, I'm holding up my hands again on an audio medium.
That's a lot. It's a big hands. That's a lot. Yeah. Well, my man, cheers to you and Amanda and to your time in Dublin. Huh?
Sláinte.
Salud. Man, I could drink this all day, every day, man. So here's a funny story. My Guinness story, not to one up your story at all. Just one of my dearest friends lives in Florida now, but anytime we go to a pub or a brew or a brew house, if he sees Guinness on tap, it doesn't matter what mood we're in. It doesn't matter how much we drank. It doesn't matter what's going on. If he sees Guinness, that's the one and only beer he'll have. At least have one every time. The first beer.
Yes.
And it's just like, I'm thinking of him right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the extra stout, I like better than we can get drop or the nitro in the can.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is like, I like to say being from California and specifically Southern California, the closer you get to Southern California, the better In-N-Out tastes.
Interesting.
Which I always say is a scientific fact, and it drives all of my engineering friends absolutely bonkers. Because it's like, you can't stop saying that. I don't care. So it's like the Utah doesn't taste as good as the Vegas, doesn't taste as good as the California.
Okay, I can see that.
I always like to make the same argument. The closer you get to St. James Gate, the better the Guinness tastes.
Have you been to St. James?
Oh, yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
How was that?
Oh, man. Kid in a candy shop.
Man, I bet. Like
you walk into the lobby and there's just this beautifully crafted wooden harp just in the center of the lobby. And so I took a picture of it and I sent it to my cousin. And he was like, the only way your face could get any bigger was if you had a Guinness in your other hand.
I love that so much, man. Have you gone back to Dublin since?
Not yet. That's one of the trips that we have planned is to go back there because Amanda's never been to Ireland.
Has she been to Europe?
Yes, she's been to mainland Europe. I've never been to mainland Europe.
Okay.
So we want to do, if we can swing it, hopefully like a big trip, because we have friends that live in Germany.
Cool.
So we want to do...
Shitty beer, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I heard.
Germans don't know anything about beer. So we want to do a trip where we can go to Ireland. I can show her Dublin and Ireland. She can meet Paul and hang out and just have a blast.
That circle, man. That's so cool.
And then... We get to go to mainland Europe. She gets to show me the places that she's been to in Europe.
Where has she been? She'd lived there or just visited?
She just visited. She's been to Brussels and a couple of different places in Germany. So the friends that live in Germany, it's a married couple. It was one of her college roommates.
Oh, cool.
And her husband is German. So the wedding was in Germany.
Rad.
And she was a part of that wedding.
Super cool.
So I mean, I know that, and they're absolutely wonderful people. So we're always talking about, like, we need to go to Germany. We need to see you guys. And I've never been to a, like, Oktoberfest. I've been to Snowbird Oktoberfest.
Has she been?
No.
Wait, hold on, back up. How dare you, sir? So Snowbird Oktoberfest is a true traditional Sioux style.
I'm not knocking it. I love Oktoberfest up in Snowbird. And I mean, Bewilder, we do our own Oktoberfest. We go pretty hard for that. But, yeah, we really want to do like tried and true in Germany.
I'm curious because I hear that the OG Oktoberfest is a tourist thing. It's not actually for actual Germans. Like it's a thing.
So I think probably like all good things, there is the overpriced German, like touristy side.
Yes.
But then you're talking to like a local or you've got an inn and they're going to take you to
where you actually celebrate. Yes.
To
where
like,
you
actually tailgate. Yes. To their pushed on their beer hall.
Oh.
Like the good, good.
I might have to edit this out. That's a secret, man.
Because there, I mean, like there's Temple Bar in Dublin and it's just an area right along the Liffey. And it's just a bunch of pubs. And so like people are playing music outside and everybody's walking around in kilts and it like, it's the touristy area.
Okay.
And pints are just up the ass. They're so expensive right there. But then like you go back to your neighborhood or your little neighborhood pub, like the neighborhood pub where I was the right. Comet. It was around the corner from where I was living and it was dirt cheap and we're just hanging out and we're having fun.
So yeah, I think that because when Holly and I went to Europe, we did the same thing. We see like where the tourist areas,
yeah,
and it was literally like a block or two away. All you gotta do is extra three blocks and like a fraction of the price and the same or even better experience.
Yes, okay, absolutely.
I see.
Yeah.
Let's go do it, dude. I mean, you go do it. And then if we
I'll
do it
report
together.
Back.
Yeah, let me know. Man, I'm so happy for you. That's so cool. I'm geeking right now. Brian, you get cooler and cooler if I meet you, man. So on this note, I want to talk about how, because this is like a beer mecca, or if you think about beer hot spots in the world.
Yes.
I mean, St. James, I mean, Dublin's huge.
That's a big one.
Yeah. So watching you come from the reins right now. So I watched you, I met you when you were at Hopkins. You kind of, were you doing the door as well or just behind the bar?
Yeah. Bartender and door work. Yeah.
So you're kind of like, you know, a grunt, if you will. Not to diss anyone. But
no, it was my first job in the beer industry. Yeah, absolutely.
You loved it. You did a great job.
I had to cut my teeth. Yeah.
And then you helped PK out.
Mm-hmm.
And then how did you land your job at Bewilder?
So good friend of the show, Diaz.
Never heard of her.
Yeah. Who's that? What?
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't even know where we were. We were just hanging out, talking somewhere. And she was like, oh yeah, Bewilder is hiring. You should come work here. And I was restructuring. So I was at Hopkins and I was part-time at Hopkins, full-time at Department of Workforce Services.
Gotcha.
And was kind of rearranging schedules and trying to figure out just how to make things work. I was trying to slowly put more time into beer, less time sitting at a desk.
Cool.
And we just couldn't quite get it to work out at Hopkins. Like that just, the timing was off, like capacity was at max. It was like, there's nothing for you to do in the brew house. And I was like, okay, I get that. Like if there's two bodies and it's a two body system, then that's totally fine. I understand that. So then I just started looking around for other breweries that were hiring and I just made it very clear when I went in, I was like, I'll start at door, I'll do bar work, whatever. But my intent is to get into the brewery.
And you said that.
Yeah. So
the cojones on you.
It's one of the few times where I've been like, I will actually do confrontation.
But you led with passion and a heart.
Yes.
You gave three fucks.
Yes.
So I commend you for that.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Man. It's probably not even conflict. It's just speaking your mind and setting boundaries.
Wow.
I don't like that.
Are you healthy as fuck right now?
No. I'm terrified that I said that out loud.
Stop. I think it's beautiful. I think more people should do that because our society would be a better place if people like you did stuff like
that.
Yes. Anyway, continue.
So Diaz told me to apply at Bewilder and I applied. I sat down and I had that conversation where like I'll work
with door,
Sky and Garrett. And I sat down. I was like, I'll work door. I'll work bar. Like I still have this job right now, but like, you know,
yeah.
I'm doing 4/10s. I don't work on Fridays. Give me Fridays. I'll do whatever. But I want to eventually get into the brew house. I homebrew. I want to make this a thing. And they're like, okay, yeah, we'll probably figure something out. And just bit by bit, I was working behind the bar and just proving that I knew what I knew and that I, you know, was competent. And just slowly, it was like maybe once a week back in the brewery. And then there was a opening for like sales and delivery and a little bit of packaging. And it just, again, the timing was just a little bit off. And I was like, it's just not going to work right now. And I'm like, okay, no worries. And then I think not even a year later, Amanda and I had a conversation. It was like, okay, if Cody can guarantee you like a full-time schedule, like if you're going to be working full-time, if Cody and Sky can give you that schedule, then you can leave DWS, and you can, we'll do a year, a trial run full time at Bewilder. I was like, okay. And so I started with.
Is that scary?
It's terrifying. Mm. It's terrifying.
But you leaned against it.
Yeah.
You leaned into it, I guess.
Yeah. Just, yeah. So I started with 4 days behind the bar, 1 day in the brewery. And then it was 3 days at the bar, 2 days at the brewery. And then 2 days at the bar, 3 days in the brewery. And now I'm 4 days in the brewery, 1 day a week at the bar.
So that's right.
Yeah.
It sounds like.
Yeah.
That's really cool, Brian.
Yeah.
Way to stick with it, man.
Yeah.
Way to not give up, because
yeah,
it's easy to give up. It's easy to quit. It's easy to just
yeah,
hang the towel or just be comfortable.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like I owe a lot of it to Cody and Ross and Steven, where.
Wow. You just named some pretty fucking awesome people. Anyway.
They are pretty great. But just the patience and the time and the knowledge that they've invested in me and shared with me has made me a way better worker, but also just like my home brewing has gotten way, way better. And so I feel like I don't know if I would be in the position that I'm in now if it wasn't for the support system and the team that is Bewilder. So I am super grateful that I'm working there. And I think all those guys are great.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
I'm so happy for you. And that's where watching you do this and this, like this rise to the top kind of thing you've been doing. I don't believe in the hierarchy of like, you have to start from the bottom, go up. I don't believe in that. I think it's a bullshit thing we've decided in the West hemisphere. I think it's ridiculous. If you can be taught and you're passionate, you can be in any place you want. Mm-hmm. So I see how you're doing that. You didn't go to school for it. You're not sitting there spending 17 years before you get into the brew house, right? Yeah. People are giving fucks on you and giving, like, they're trusting you because you care.
Yes.
And I'll take that over someone with 17 years of experience.
Yeah.
And man, dude, I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
And I want to give a shout out to Diaz because Diaz.
Hooking it up.
We missed the fuck out of her because that girl has no idea how big of a catalyst she was and still is if she wants to be in our family.
Oh, yeah.
Diaz was, man, that girl slaps.
Yeah.
She's the best.
Yeah. And we saw her in May. We were in Colorado in May. Yeah. And we specifically stopped at Amanda is left-handed, so that's also fun. But then
That's right, because you're lefty, huh?
No.
Oh, Amanda's lefty.
Amanda, yeah. That's what she said. So we stopped at Left Hand for some good Left Hand beer, and also absolutely to see Diaz.
Well, if anyone in our family is in Denver area, hit up Diaz.
Oh, yeah.
Diaz will spoil the fuck out of you.
Oh, yeah.
It will be all on Diaz's tab. Diaz will pay for everything.
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
You're fucked. I love it, Brian. But you know what? Keep going, man. I know you will. I don't got to say this, but keep doing it. And I think you're at a great place. And I think it's, who doesn't love the beast? I think Bewilder is a great place. I think, you know, Cody Ross, Sarah behind the bar, Steven, you guys are all great. And I look forward to the events you guys throw.
Yeah.
But speaking of that, you've brought our last and final beer.
Yes.
That happens to be one of my favorites and
one of my favorites.
Also happens to be the first beer Diaz ever brought to my show.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Diaz, when I interviewed Diaz, like this was during COVID, but back in the OG days.
Oh yeah.
I remember her she brought Cody and we opened this beer you're about to open and this is when I started getting my feet wet in craft beer. Like we're talking like,
yeah,
how the fuck did you do this? Like I want to do this.
Yeah.
This is a beer that I'm most mad at Cody because I didn't think of it first. But before we do that, I want the song you paired. So I'm going to give you the rest of it. So you have the last and final song before we end today.
Yes.
With the beer pairing. Walk us through this, Big Ryan.
So this is basically like current times where I am now in my life. Bringing a beer from Bewilder and the song that I have paired with it is a song from my own band, Hulking Boy Giant. This is off of our EP that we released, I think, about 2 years ago. This is, if not the oldest, one of the oldest songs that we wrote back in Cam's basement.
Who's Cam?
Cam is our guitarist and lead singer.
Beautiful.
Yes. He's a beautiful, wonderful man. Mike is a beautiful, wonderful man. Mike is our bassist and backing vocals. And so this song is called Visitors, and it's about alien invasion. And the beer that we are drinking is the Imperial Mole Porter.
Cue Visitors.
Yeah.
This is one of my new favorite episodes, dude. Because I've never had anything like this.
This is very different. While we're drinking beer that I make and listening to music that I make, might as well just continue to talk awesome things about myself. I think this is a really neat concept.
Yeah. This is really cool, and I might steal it because
do it.
It helps me get to know you better, and it helps you showcase something that's personal, near and dear to you, to me.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes it's hard to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's hard to share something very close and deep. And you're doing it, and you're doing it through two of your favorite passions.
Yeah.
Music and beer.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, man.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to do this again, we are dropping a full length album in September.
Part two?
Yeah.
Let's do part two.
Yeah. We're playing at the Ice House September 22nd. It's an album release party. If you want to get the band on, we could do some music and beer pairings.
I love this. It might be one of those 6-hour episodes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You might make it the longest episode ever. On this though, my friend, prost, salud.
Cheers, sláinte.
Mole porter, man. So I feel like some people either love or hate mole, by the way.
Ugh. It's so good.
This is the first, like I said, this is the first beer that I had from the first insanely made craft beer I had in Salt Lake. when I started becoming more familiar with our scene and I started understanding who our family was.
Mm-hmm.
This is when I started understanding who, like, the Jason Stocks were and the Colby Fraziers and the, you know what I'm saying? And the Brian Colemans and all these people. And I'm like, who's this Cody McKendrick motherfucker? Like, you know what I mean?
What's going on?
And he's making, he's not brown and he's making a mole pork. Yeah. And it was, it just went so well together.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember Diaz bringing a cupcake to pair with this.
Oh.
And that pairing, it's one of the few times at the beginning of the podcast where I was speechless. And I just had no words, man.
Yeah.
And this beer, man, this beer is like, because they released this during Halloween / Day of the Dead.
Yes.
And there's a Sugar Skull on the cover. It's always been on the can.
Yeah.
And I got teary-eyed, man.
Yeah.
Because this reminds me of when I celebrate Day of the Dead,
mm-hmm.
this beer is something I always have.
Oh, yeah. I love that combination, that bridge there. Yeah. Yeah. I think the artwork on the label is great. I think what it either reminds people of or maybe they'll see the label and they'll go, oh, that's a cool skull. What's it about? Like, it's a great reminder. It's a great introduction. I feel like it, I mean, being a white kid from Southern California, I feel like it does a good job of honoring Hispanic and Mexican culture of the mole porter and then aged in tequila. But also my favorite part about it, the mezcal barrels.
Mm-hmm.
I just, the combination of flavors and just what it's about and what it means, I think is fantastic.
I think also on that same note, it's, I don't see a lot of Latin culture beers.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of, I mean, everyone can make a cerveza.
Yeah.
Cool. But can you call an actual Mexican cerveza? It's like, is that a Mexican beer?
Yeah.
I don't know. But this is a beer where actually Mexican culture was purposely put inside of a beer.
Yes.
Right. And this is showcasing a Mexican heritage or a, you know, I feel like this is a Latin beer. If you're going to this is the, because if you think Guinness, I think it's an Irish beer.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So this beer is like, I think it's Mexican, but it's not Mexican. It's weird.
Yeah.
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 But the whole circle, the whole gambit of you showed today, mm-hmm. Brian, is so fucking beautiful, man.
Thank you. This was a lot of fun.
Dude, I mean, I can't, like, I'm in awe. Like, we could sit here for more time. I mean, well done, man.
I mean, I've got double of everything we brought, so.
Don't say that. That's for after hours.
I mean, that's it. There's nothing left. Everybody go home. Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Bye-bye. But, no, Brian, watching your path as of right now, I feel like I've connected with you way better, way more. I have even more of a respect than I had before.
Thanks.
I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you.
Way to, like, trust your heart, trust your spirit, trust your soul, trust your emotions, your vibrations, and you did it, man.
Yeah.
You're doing it.
Yeah.
And you're doing what you love.
Yeah.
You work at what you love, your hobbies what you love, mm-hmm. you have a great wife, you have a cool dog. Like, you came here on a fucking bike, sweaty as fuck.
Like, I did.
I'm so proud that you, thanks for the time, man. Thanks for the time and the trust in sitting with me.
Oh, of course.
And I don't care who's, I do care who's listening, but, like, at the end of the day, man, I won't forget this, man.
Oh, this has been a blast. I have honestly been waiting to sit down and be a part of your podcast.
Shut the hell up.
I am not blowing smoke, man.
That's awesome.
I've just been waiting. And there have been a couple times where I've wanted to approach you, like, as we've been in conversation and be like, hey, man, what's your schedule look like? Like, you got an opening? You need somebody? But I wanted it also to be very organic and just let it arise naturally.
I respect that more.
Yeah.
It's not because if someone asks me, hey, when am I going to be in a show? I don't necessarily, that's not a turnoff to me, but the organic thing is for some reason, and I'm going to say this is a secret of mine. This is the secret of success of Tastemasters.
Yeah.
Okay? Is I go off of feeling and vibrations. I meditate about something.
Yeah.
And when I have a thought, I act upon the thought.
Yeah.
And so when I texted you, I literally was like, for some reason, I'm like, I have to tell Brian and he has to come on.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to stop. I wasn't going to let you say no.
Yeah.
And here we are.
It was very easy scheduling.
It really was, wasn't it? Fuck yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But Brian, I cannot thank you enough for the time you said spent today. And more importantly, for sharing a part of you with me and everyone else that wants to listen.
Oh, absolutely.
I think I was right about you. You're a beautiful soul, and I think you are one motherfucking badass, dude.
Well, thanks, man.
Yeah. I love you, man.
I love you, too. Yeah. I think this was a blast. This was rad. I really enjoy hanging out and talking to you, and I feel like we get better and better every time we hang out.
Hell yeah, we do.
Let's do more of this.
Absolutely.
Okay.
See you next month, I guess.
Okay, yeah, sure.
But if there's anything I can do to help you, I don't know what I can do, but if there's anything, either as a brewer or as a friend or just as a drinking buddy, let me know, man.
Yeah.
Both of you guys. So I guess you three.
Yeah.
Your family. But on that note, my friend Brian, until the next beverage, yeah?
Yeah.
Slánce?
Slánce.
Slánce.
Yeah, Gaelic for health.
Slánce.
Slánce.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. Find us on Instagram at @_Tastemasters, Twitter at @TheTastemasters, or on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, DM us for any questions, or leave a review. Tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_Audio.